This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Residents of Basra are cleaning up and treating the wounded following the bloodiest day in the southern Iraqi city since the start of the war a year ago. Five suicide bombings killed more than 70 people and wounded at least 200 others. There's no word on who carried out these attacks, though U.S. officials say they have the hallmarks of al-Qaeda. NPR's Emily Harris is in Baghdad. What more do you know about yesterday's attacks?
Well, U.S. officials are saying that this looks like al-Qaeda, but they don't have any evidence that they can point to support that. One U.S. military official said it looks like al-Qaeda because it was suicidal, spectacular, and symbolic. The U.S. talks a lot about foreign fighters getting involved here. When pressed, they do admit that they've only arrested one known al-Qaeda operative here in Iraq, a man named Hassan Gul, earlier this year. And they frequently cite a letter that they say they captured with Mr. Gul that said that it discusses carrying out attacks in Iraq. In Basra, police did discover two other car bombs and arrested two men in the cars yesterday, according to one member of the Iraqi Governing Council. So it's possible those arrests will turn up some clearer understanding of who exactly was behind yesterday's attacks.
What's the latest from Fallujah?
Fallujah, things don't look like they're going so well. The bottom line for the United States is how many heavy weapons are turned in, handed over to the Marines. They have collected some, but they're not happy with what they're getting. Today at a briefing for reporters, officials passed around pictures of rusty rockets and said, look, if you tried to fire this thing, it would explode and kill you. There was one picture of some rockets that had inert written right on them. The officials did say, now, this was yesterday's stuff, maybe this will improve today. But they're not taking a very optimistic tone. There has been worry from the beginning of these negotiations as to whether or not the people that U.S. was talking to in Fallujah had the authority to rein in these fighters and get them to hand in weapons. And from Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld to spokespeople at the CPA, they don't really seem to expect this to succeed. They are not at all ruling out the possibility that the Marines would go back on the offensive in Fallujah and try to get the weapons and the people who are using them against the U.S. themselves.
The U.S. military had problems earlier this month when Iraqi security forces refused to fight in Fallujah. Is this still a problem?
What they're trying to do right now in Fallujah is get the police, at least, the Iraqi police, back up and running and on the streets. Now, that's a challenge. The police in Fallujah, like police in Iraq everywhere, have been targets frequently of insurgents who are fighting U.S. troops and people they believe are collaborating with U.S. troops here. But the fighting in Fallujah did reveal a much bigger problem with the security forces here in general, that Iraqis who signed up for the new army and the Civil Defense Corps didn't think they'd be fighting other Iraqis. A general here who's been in charge of Baghdad for the past year, General Martin Dempsey of the 1st Armored Division, says that about 10% of Iraqi security forces worked against U.S. troops during the most recent round of fighting, and about 40% just walked off the job. He did say that half of the Iraqis serving did a good job, but now the U.S. is considering how to overhaul training. They're going to bring in some officers who served in the Iraqi military under Saddam Hussein, and both to train troops, and also they're using former Iraqi army officers to form a new intelligence service. Getting good intelligence here, U.S. officials have frequently said, is their single biggest challenge.
Another concern facing the American occupation is the effect this month's violence is having on private contractors helping with reconstruction. What's the situation with that?
It has definitely made things difficult. It's very difficult to move around here for foreigners, and bringing in supplies is also difficult. According to USAID, both GE and Siemens have stopped doing some work in Baghdad in terms of sending the foreigners out, but they say that work on electricity plants that Siemens and GE are doing are continuing. It's a really tricky issue because if things like electricity can't get done in time, that has political repercussions. Iraqis are still waiting for the levels of electricity to be what they expect them to be.
NPR's Emily Harris in Baghdad.